Wednesday.
Y'all have a guest here every Wednesday?
Or Skype.
We try.
Or Skype. Interesting.
Yup.
Roland, just so you know, we are being streamed on Ustream and then on YouTube. Have you started yet, Daisy?
Interesting.
And then it'll be recorded and put on the website, and then it'll end up being on iTunes and all these other places and stuff like that. So
wow. This is kind of cool.
Woo!
All right, let me get my show notes up and ready.
Jackson, you changed this camera to him?
Yes.
Yes.
There's a camera, too?
Right there. And there's one up there.
And another one over there.
And another one over there.
Wow. Okay. So this is like a live feed into YouTube, and I mean, this is live action.
You can listen to us on Wednesdays.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting.
All right, so Kaylin, start your recording over there, and you start yours there. So on the
this one's already started.
Yeah, but you started on the other one there?
On my computer?
Yeah.
No, it's not up. How do I? Oh, never mind.
Can you get it?
Just play?
No, hit the red button. Yeah.
Got it.
And you minimize that.
So all you girls have your phones out. You got questions lined up. Holy cow. All right.
And then Claudio will be live tweeting. So you have
tweeting.
You have Twitter.
This is serious.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
Do you have a Twitter name you want us to mention, or you like to keep that on the
I mean, it's business Twitter name. It's not a personal thing, but
all right, what is
at DS2 platform.
DS2 platform.
You hear that, Claudia?
DS2 platform. Yes, ma'am.
All right. So throw that out there at DS2 platform. So I'll mention that there at the bottom.
And she's taking pictures.
All right.
Great. This is
you
awesome.
You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to start in 3, 2, 1. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 42, Roland Ramirez of the Houston Texans for February 13th, 2013. All right, of course, I just mentioned Roland Ramirez is our special guest today, but we also have our regular crew. I'm, of course, your host, Jeremy Jackson.
Susie.
Kaylin.
Karen.
Roland.
Crystal.
Leslie.
Claudia.
Priscilla.
And then we have Daisy, Lori, and Monica doing other side jobs, trying to do some quality control stuff. All right, so, Roland, I didn't really get any of the background information from you as far as job title. You're Director of Physical Therapy and Athletic Trainer for the Houston Texans, right?
Not quite that glorified. Not a director, but a rehab coordinator.
Rehab coordinator.
Yes, sir. So, rehab coordinator for the Houston Texans and assistant athletic trainer is a title I like to tag along with that more so. And so I just completed my 8th season in the NFL and going on 9. So I've going on my 6th season with the Texans and spent a few years with, prior to this I was with the Falcons briefly and then through the whole Michael Vick and Bobby Petrino era. If you girls can remember that. And then prior to that, I was with the Tennessee Titans for a couple years. And so can't say that too loud around Houston. But
not too loud.
Was with the Titans for a little bit. So. Yep.
All right, so I know you have a son in you're married?
Yes.
And how long have you been married?
8 years.
8 years, and your son is?
My son is 5 years old, and I have a little daughter named Tessa who is about to be 2.
About to be 2. That was about
my
the time.
Son's about to be 6. So
I think it was about 2 years ago that we came over there and I first met you. So I saw the picture of you and your son with the Ramirez jersey on your on your shoulders.
Oh, right. In the training room. Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Very cool.
Neat picture.
Yeah, I definitely want to give a shout out to Roland's family. So his wonderful wife and 2 children. So thanks for letting him come out here today. All right. When did you first become introduced to athletic training?
You know, I mean, I would say it's high school. We didn't have an official athletic trainer in high school. My coach, as I guess several rural areas or maybe what you would say back in the day, there are a lot more athletic trainers now in school systems. But, back where I'm from, which is Uvalde, Texas, a little town west of San Antonio, we're a 4A school, but it was a tiny school, no official athletic trainer. And my DB's coach, Coach Salinas, was the guy that took care of us. He taped our ankles. Actually, several of the coaches would, tape our ankles and take turns at taking us through stuff and doing those kind of things. So just being an athlete through high school, playing several different sports, and I guess just kind of being introduced, by having injuries, being introduced to that aspect of it. And I knew in high school that I wanted to go into some form of sports rehab, training, if you will. And so I started doing a little digging and, you know, discovered physical therapy, discovered athletic training. And from the high school days, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. So that's just still living the dream right now.
All right. So if you didn't have an athletic trainer in high school, when was the first exposure, real exposures you had to like an actual licensed or certified athletic trainer?
I was in college. So I went to Texas Tech University. I walked on the football team there. And, of course, had a nice ankle sprain while I was playing some spring ball there. And so that was my official introduction into a certified athletic trainer. And so they, you know, took me in and, you know, just doing a bunch of the treatment and rehab that goes on with a pretty bad ankle sprain. And so I remember doing the alphabet and the whirlpool and doing all sorts of exercises. So that was my, I guess, official introduction with certified athletic trainers there. So.
All right, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
You already said it.
I already answered that one.
Yeah, basically.
What's that? The next one?
Your hometown.
Oh,
college.
Right. Yep. Small little town. Yeah.
Good job, Kaylin. What are you paying attention? See, I wasn't even looking forward.
There you
What's
go.
Up, Susie?
Oh, they asking me a question to ask him.
All right. Oh, so we got to have a live stream. So we have people that can comment in the chat room.
Uh-huh.
So if Susie jumps in, then that's somebody that's listening online that's going to be asking you questions.
Oh, wow.
So go ahead, Susie.
Okay. This is interesting.
Okay.
This is awesome.
They asked if it's really hard to establish and keep a relationship while traveling.
So like a family relationship?
Family,
probably.
Yeah. It is. You know, that's one of the biggest challenges. And I know there's a couple questions that, you know, kind of relate to this. But that's one of the worst parts of the job is having to balance out your family time. We work so many hours in the NFL, and usually, you know, during the season, it's an 80-hour shift. You know that you're working on a weekly basis. Training camp is even worse. Don't see my family during that time. And during the off season, you know, we come down to about 40, 50 hours a week, and we have our weekends back. But it's very tough during the season, just because it's such a big grind. Once you start in July, there are no days off. It doesn't matter if we're sick or not. I mean, we're expected to show up and you know, take care of the players in whatever manner that they need. And so it's difficult, you know, when you're driving home at 7 p.m. and you know that's kiddo's time to go down, you know, bath and bedtime. And you might have, you know, I sometimes get home and I have 10 minutes with my daughter and play around with her in the living room, and then she's off to bed, and then I might have a 30-minute or an hour window with my son, and you know, do that. And you know, for my wife, bless her heart, I mean, it's very difficult on her. I mean, she has to get the kids ready every morning. She has to you know, pick them up from school. She's got to hold her own when it comes to family matters, and our job and what is asked of me is there's no flexibility in our schedule at all. And so it is difficult. That's one of the most challenging aspects of being an athletic trainer in the NFL is just the time demands, the things that go on a daily basis. And some, you know, many things are uncontrollable. And injuries happen, as you guys all know, that they happen on a daily basis. And some are worse than others. And some situations you know, call for some different things to happen during the day. And so, but at the same token, I mean, it's just very tough, to be able to do that, but you gotta have time. Your kids are only, young for so long, and you've got to be home when you can and do the things you can and traveling, you know, you're doing FaceTime and Skype or whatever you can to just, see a smile out of their face and say hello and say goodnight. And then you're off to bed and game day next day. So
very cool. My wife, she was probably the one that asked the question. She always listens.
No, it was Lolly and Sarah.
Oh, okay. So it's the girls that were just talking to you outside. They're the ones in the,
yeah,
they're listening over there. So
there we go.
But like I live 4 miles from here. And so she can come up pretty often and come to the games and stuff. Does your family ever get to do that?
Well, they get to come to practices. We live 30 minutes away. We live in Missouri City. And so, you know, with school and their schedules and games that go on, you know, my son is getting into the whole soccer and baseball, and he does gymnastics and is involved in all sorts of stuff. And so doing that is sometimes difficult. But I bring him up on Saturday mornings when he doesn't have anything going on, and I'll let him mess around in the training room, and he's just try to keep him from staying away and hurting anybody else. But he loves being around us and me, and it's a lot of fun. And my wife, she doesn't get to come up here often except for, during training camp. We can bring our families and certain guests that can come up and watch practice up close and personal, and I'll hug their neck briefly after practice, and then I'm off into the training room. So, but it's fun when they can be here.
Yeah. Go ahead.
They asked another question. Well, your wife said, and I thought, oh my goodness. Okay, Sarah said, have you treated J.J. Watt? And then Lolly said, if you can choose any other NFL team to be a trainer for, who would you choose and why? All right, and so then your wife also said, and I thought Jeremy's schedule was rough.
All right, so yes. His schedule is definitely more intense than mine. So I would, as a coordinator of rehab, I'm sure Roland has treated every athlete that has been injured, and probably the ones that even haven't been injured, just need an ice and stuff like that.
Never treated J.J. Watt. just joking.
So they're a little starstruck, and they're like, oh, Texans, and they're super excited.
Right,
so
right.
So I'm sure they're going to ask about all the different athletes and that kind of stuff. But
not a problem. I'm excited to be here, very honored. And yes, I mean, J.J., his rehab and elbow dislocation, that was a big one, early part of the year in training camp, and so we did a lot of work with him, and we are very blessed and fortunate to have a guy like JJ that has an unbelievable work ethic, and it makes it easier when you have those kind of players, and so to work with him it was great, and he goes off and has a tremendous year, and then defensive player of the year, so pretty neat. But the second part of that question was what now?
If you can choose any other NFL team to be a trainer for, who would you choose and why?
Trying to get me fired.
You can plead the fifth.
Yeah, that's right. To me, and this goes back to high school and what I mentioned or alluded to earlier, is the fact that I wanted to be a rehab coordinator for a major league baseball team or a football team. And to be in the NFL is such an honor and such a privilege, and I'm very fortunate to have a wife also that she's an athletic trainer and a physical therapist as well, and so she understands the rigors and the time demands and everything that we're challenged with. But at the same time, I mean, any position in the NFL to me is such a privilege and an honor to be a part of. And I grew up a Cowboys and an Oilers fan. And I went to watch the Oilers and the Cowboys every year in the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. So Pops and I would, trek it from Uvalde and go over to San Antonio and watch them. And, so grew up a huge Cowboys fan. And then obviously with the Oilers, and when they moved off to Tennessee, that was really neat for me to start my career there in the NFL with the Titans. I mean, to me, that was the old Oilers team. And a lot of those players, when I first started there, a lot of those players were part of the Oilers organization. So, I walk in and there's Steve McNair, God rest his soul, and then, Eddie George and several players that were part of that Oilers team. And then, with the Titans, it was really neat. I'm not trying to dance around that question at all, but, I love it here in Houston. If I had my choices, it would have been, back then it would have been the Cowboys or Houston. And so, for me to go to Tennessee and then by way of that, I was in Atlanta as a rehab coordinator, and then had the chance and opportunity to come to Houston. That was a no-brainer. And so for me, obviously, huge Texans fan, and boo on the Cowboys now. And I gotta go with the team that I'm a part of, and I couldn't be more thrilled about it. And it's a great organization, good people, good players from top to bottom. And it's a neat organization to be a part of. I'm very excited that I'm here, and we'll do anything in my ability to keep on doing this here for this team. So at this moment, I don't want to go anywhere else.
All right, very cool. All right, so does your wife is a current, like, she works as an athletic trainer at a high school?
She's certified, and she's, you know, active with that. She does not do any athletic training this year. I mean, just with kiddos' schedules and everything else. She works as a physical therapist in Methodist Sugar Land Hospital down, obviously, in Sugar Land. But she works part-time. She works part-time down there. Last year, she would go out to several middle schools and visit the coaches would basically line up, you know, the kids with whoever had injuries, and then she would evaluate them and then kind of be that middle person on determining whether this kid needed to be evaluated further by a physician or not, or if it was something that needed to be treated on site, or you know, she would recommend certain exercises or treatment and then go from there. But at this time, she doesn't do any athletic training. She's just using the PT side of her skills, so...
All right, so Leslie's got a question, and I got one more for you.
Okay.
Describe your route to the NFL and the Texans.
My route. My route was a little bit unusual. You know, so when I graduated high school, went on to college, and then played football for a little bit, and I went to physical therapy school first. And so I got my degree there, and then... during physical therapy school, it was a program at Texas Tech where it was a dual credential program. So the way it was structured then was 3 years of PT school and then 1 year of athletic training after that. But during my PT curriculum, I had several athletic training courses. And so while I was completing my PT curriculum, and then I had a few of those athletic training clinicals and stuff there, I wanted to try or I attempted to get a clinical site at Vanderbilt Sports Medicine Center in Tennessee. And so basically my last clinical rotation of PT school was at Vanderbilt. It was approved and got to head up there. I have some family friends that live in Nashville. I just thought it would be really cool to get out of Lubbock and out of Texas, just out of state, and why not, you know? So I go, I get set up, and one of my professors, PT school, says, hey, I want you to give this guy a call. He's a good friend of mine. I said, okay, cool. You know, is he an athletic trainer? Is he a PT? What does he do? And he said, no, he's a special teams coach for the Tennessee Titans. And I said, you got to be joking me. So I call this guy up. I go up for my eight-week rotation, and he takes me in under his wing, and I have some lunch with him, and he introduces, you know, I meet him up at the facility, and he introduces me to who's Brad Brown and Don Mosley and those athletic trainers. Jeff Kaplan, who was the assistant there and the rehab guy there, he is now the head athletic trainer here at Houston. It's kind of a different story for a different time, but anyway, I was introduced to them, and as I was completing PT school, I had like a two-week hiatus before I had to come back and graduate from PT school, and so I asked him if I could observe a little bit and just watch what they do, where they had OTAs and practices going on. And so had that going. They said that was great. So in between those couple weeks that I had between the end of my rotation and back to school, I observed them and did great. And then once I was there, once I came back to Lubbock and was finishing up my athletic training stuff, just kind of kept communication lines open. And then once I graduated from athletic training school as well, I convinced my wife. I said, you know, we'll transfer our licenses, and we'll move to Tennessee, and I'll do an internship with the Titans, and then from there we'll just see what happens. But at least I know these guys personally, and we'll just see where this takes us, and we'll get PT jobs or athletic training jobs in Tennessee. We're young, no kids. Why don't we just go for it? And a week before we were moving, the Titans called and said that they have a full-time position open through Baptist Hospital that they would like to interview me for. So it was one of those things. They wanted to fly me out, and I said, I'll be there next week. And they said, great, okay. So I showed up in Nashville on a Tuesday, and interviewed for a full-time position on a Thursday and was hired for the full-time gig on Tuesday of next week. And so it was really neat. And I think the advantage that I had is at that point is I was a licensed physical therapist already. I was practicing in a sports medicine clinic while I was finishing up my athletic training stuff. And so and most interns are certified athletic trainers, or they may not be certified just yet, but they don't have the other experience, you know, as far as working in the clinic already or doing those kind of things. And so there in Tennessee, I was a part of Baptist Hospital, but I was full-time with the Titans. I didn't ever report to Baptist, but I traveled with the Titans. I did everything with the Titans and reported to the head athletic trainer there. So my route was definitely different. Most students nowadays, they'll go through, you know, to their colleges, go through a curriculum, and then after or once they're completing that, then they'll apply for different internships. And internships are the most common way to get into the NFL. And so you can be an undergrad student in an athletic training curriculum, and then you usually come in as a summer intern, and then as Jeremy did, and then but once you are in graduate school or you're graduated and you're licensed or certified, then you can apply for those year long or season long internships, and then go that route, and then it's kind of a word of mouth and. Different athletic trainers from around the league get to call in or call around and ask if, hey, do you have so-and-so? And, you know, anybody in mind, you know, we have a position that's about to be open or is open. And that's kind of how it is, how it works. But so mine is very unusual. Sorry, I didn't mean to drag that out, but just kind of wanted to explain mine was an unusual thing. So but very fortunate to happen that way.
Now, this show is all about you, so whatever you want to say, it's all about you. All right, so I got a question about that. It's kind of odd that you and your wife are both PTATs, and I don't think I heard, did you meet her in PT school or?
Met her in PT school, yes.
And so then was she planning on doing the athletic training also, or that was just the program there that you basically had to do?
You know, I'm not completely positive if she was planning to do an athletic training deal. She was a very good basketball player, very good athlete as well. I think that once they offered that program, that was something that she considered. And so, you know, for me, I knew 100% that I was going to do it. And I think for us as PT students in the first or second year, they gave us that option to sign up for the athletic training part of it. And then, you know, start taking courses in your clinical work and doing all that stuff. But she decided to do it. And, you know, even though she doesn't use it much right now, she's very very thrilled that she was able to do that and got certified and did that and has that certification. So.
Very cool. Very cool.
Making sure somebody's not sneaking up back here.
No, she's
in a chokehold or something.
Just creeping around taking pictures, so. So we're good. Luddy, will you straighten out the wall there so it looks
Jackson,
good on camera?
What about the...
All right, we got something on there.
Yeah.
Let's throw one of those in there. Uh-oh,
another
go.
Online
it's
question?
It's only one. What advice would you give a student who wants to be an athletic trainer in the NFL?
You know, it kind of goes along with what I just said. I mean, getting into a program that has... you know, a curriculum, athletic training curriculum for that, and that, you know, they keep their grades up and they keep their head down and just work hard and then go through that program and then start applying for internships, whatever sport it is, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whatever it is, pursue that and make that a goal of yours and get your name out there so that it's thrown into a hat and into a pile of resumes and so that you're considered. And you know, it's the internship route is the most common way, and again, as I mentioned, and mine was very unusual in how it all worked out. But when these athletic trainers take a shot at you and really bring you in and you do a good job for them, they notice that and they'll spread that word around to other teams. And so that's the number one way is to get your name out there, apply to different positions, internships or other positions that will get you that experience and just get some name recognition so that they can recommend you to others, if you will.
Now, along those same lines, I don't have anything for high school students, right? This is all you're talking about in college, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Usually in college, as I mentioned earlier, it's usually undergrads that have worked football. Usually, for us, the football experience is big. You know, when we have some undergrad students applying for summer internships, that football experience to just know and understand the grind and the rigors of a football season, even though it's just far different in the NFL than it is, in high school or college. But still, that football experience helps. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have football experience. There's several interns that have come through that have never worked football, but that definitely is an advantage, if those kids have it. And then after that, once they're in graduate school or certified at that point, and they're, they'll do season-long or year-long internships for us. And several teams around the league have X number of positions. Most teams, I would say, have two season or year-long interns and then have four or five that come in and help during the summer. So definitely some positions to be got out there and just pursue it.
What does a typical off-season day look like for you?
It's a good question, and it just depends on what part of the off-season.
Does a podcast normally fit into your off-season schedule?
No.
Oh, okay.
Usually not, but it's right now, with the Super Bowl just happening, and then two weeks later is the school's out. Sorry. Done. Period. Done. Two weeks later is the NFL Combine, and so we go to the Combine on Monday, and that basically is the start of the new year. Where we're having to evaluate 300-plus athletes. So I guess let me back up just a little bit. So after our season, after it's done, we have several, tests, MRI, CT scans, surgeries that are planned, and surgeries that happen. And so we're doing a lot of treatment and rehab at this point in time. And that's also a carryover from several of the athletes that were with us during the season that were maybe placed on IR, and they're finishing up their rehab or getting close to being cleared by a physician. And so we have that aspect of it. So a lot of treatment rehab Monday through Friday, and then we get our weekends, as I mentioned earlier, we get our weekends back for a little bit. So Saturday and Sunday, they go a long way. Whenever you realize you don't have them, and it's neat to be at home with the family and get away for a little bit. But so once the combine hits, then 300 plus athletes plus all the special studies that we have to compile. We have to compile all that information and assign a grade to each one of those players. And then we also get a list of those players that were not at the combine, but that it another 300 or 400 players usually, or another 300 players that we have to compile all this information, try to get as much information as possible from their college athletic trainers because they weren't at the combine, and we have to assign a grade to them. And then the draft happens in April, and then from there it's rookies are in, we're doing our physicals, we're starting camps, not to mention the off-season program with the other guys starting in May to April. So everybody is there, they're all working out, we're doing treatment. Rehab is going on as they're running and going through lifts and workouts. They sometimes will get injured during the off season, so we got to take care of that. And then once May and June are here, it's all the OTAs, all the practices. So we're going through mini camps, whether it's veteran or rookie mini camps. We're doing all the practices during that time, and then midway through June, our OTAs end, and we have a little bit of we can kind of just step back, catch our breath, and then before the storm hits in July in training camp. So it really just depends what time or what part of the off season we're in, and we are going whenever April comes around and May with all the OTAs and May and June. It's a pretty busy time, and we don't have our training camp help, but we have 90 guys on the field running and lifting and coming in and asking for this or that, and it can be pretty challenging, but it gets done and we go on. So
on that right there, I mean, it sounds like y'all are really busy. You kind of have two questions. One is, like how much pure off time, like do you have 2 weeks, 4 weeks of vacation during the year? And then the second is, do you feel that y'all are, like, have an adequate number of staff to handle those things during the off season since you don't have your...
Well, we typically try to have 4 weeks of vacation each, and that usually entails us trying to... We have to alternate our schedules. There has to be some coverage there at all times, at least by a certified athletic trainer. Now, the one exception is when at the combine, for example, next week when we are in Indianapolis, our interns here, our year-long interns, take our guys through the treatment and the rehab that we have for the players. And so that's one exception. But otherwise, us as a staff athletic trainers, we try to alternate our schedules to have off where one of us is there at all times. So, but we'll try to get our 4 weeks in. Excuse me. One, you know, spring break, we'll alternate that because we all have kiddos. And so we'll try to alternate that. And then we'll try to have one, you know, during the – I guess during this time, during this little bit of downtime, we'll try to have one, and then we'll try to get two in June, or in June, last part of June or first part of July is when we'll try to have it. But sometimes it works out that way. Other times it doesn't. It just kind of depends. But we try to have 4 weeks off. And then the other part of that was...
Since you said y'all got so much going on where you're having to grade all these
right.
people, do you feel that you have a sufficient...
The adequate coverage,
yeah.
right. So, and that's... That's tough. I mean, during this time, especially May and June, we have all our OTAs and mini camps. It's very very challenging, just because we don't have that extra set of hands. Or you know, we'll have four summer guys in with us, and you know, to help us out at least during training camp, whether it's to stretch a guy or to grab a bag of ice or hey, can you grab this guy this or that. And so that's very helpful. And but when we don't have that, and we have our numbers are up because we just had the draft and all these free agents that came in, and it's just us, it's very difficult. But we are getting some extra help. We're going to have an extra summer intern this year, so we're going to have five of those. And then you know, hopefully we're going to have another year-long intern that's going to be able to help us out too. So hopefully we'll get some extra hands this year, and we'll go from there. But it is always very challenging, very challenging. It's one of the most difficult times of the year because our numbers are so high, but athletic trainers, we're really limited on what we can do and you know, at a certain given time.
I would think that the off season would be the slower time, but, I mean, like what you're saying, it sounds like it's kind of the harder time. It's just because you're so busy, and even though you're maybe not be traveling as much, you're still
right. Right.
Super busy.
It's really tough, and we always joke that there's really no off season, and you know, the deeper you go into the playoffs, the harder it is. And so, you know, again, you know, the Super Bowl is just 2 weeks ago, and then NFL Combine starts, and it's a whirlwind from there. I mean, it's just having to evaluate all these players, compile all the information, get as much as you can from the athletic trainers, because when the from the athletic trainers in college, trying to assign a grade to each player, because when Rick Smith and Gary Kubiak are asking us about certain players here and there, or the college scouts or pro scouts are asking us about these players, all that information is put into their file, into that player's file, and it is a small piece of their file that gets considered whenever these guys are drafted or not. And so we play an important role with that, and sometimes we can have a bigger say with certain players that say, hey, look, you can draft this kid, but he's not going to last 2 years, probably because of this beat-up knee or that. You know, so it's we play a little role in that too, but it's very stressful, very time-consuming with doing all that. It is tough.
There's another question.
All right, well, let's go with that one, and then we'll go with Crystal.
Okay. What are some of the benefits of working for a professional football team?
You know, again, working with guys like, you know, Brian Cushion and Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt, and, you know, several of these players are special. And sometimes they motivate me and push me just as much as I push them, if not harder. And, you know, so it's exciting to do that. You know, on the flip side of it, it's far different from, you know, having – 85-year-old Miss Jones, you know, coming in with a walker and doing this or that. It's just different. And no offense to 85-year-old Miss Jones. We love her, we love her too. But it is different. You know, when you have these players that are very gifted and talented. And aside from that, you know, being able to work with them and take them from, you know, surgery, if you will, or an injury back onto the field, that's kind of where we all get our glory, you know, is to be able to see them do what they love. And, you know, so the other part of that is, you know, you watch NFL games from the sideline, and, you know, most times you're not just there as a spectator and as a fan. You have to watch everything and listen for everything. And so that's definitely a plus or a perk. You know, aside from that, there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes to be able to do that. And so, but it is fun. It's a huge privilege to be able to work at this level and with these talented guys.
Do y'all like talk to any of them, like, as in, like, personally outside of?
Yeah, we do. We do. You know, there's times where, I mean, I won't lie, I've played golf with a few guys. You know, we're in a situation where we develop a pretty unique relationship with these players. You know, for example, for you girls that might see Arian Foster or J.J. Watt or whatever, you know, people are going crazy to see those guys. And sometimes that reminds me of where I work, because I don't realize that. I mean, to me, it's like me coming up to you. Hey, how's it going? You know, J.J., what's up? You know, or Arian, what's up? You know, so we spend so much time with these guys that you have to build that rapport. It's very big, very important that we build that rapport with our players and that they're comfortable with us. And so there has to be a mutual respect. And maybe because of that, there are times, different functions outside of the training room walls or the facilities there at Reliant. There are times where we get together, whether it's, you know, coaches, house that's throwing maybe a holiday party or something like that or whatever. You know, there are times outside of football that we get together, but we do build unique relationships with these players, and there's times where, you know, we'll meet up and play some golf or do something like that. So, you know, it, plenty of time that we get to spend together.
Good question, Kaylin.
Yeah, great question.
I know. Just kidding.
Discuss your internship program.
Our internship program. So I think I've kind of mentioned it already, but as far as the interns, you know, we have four summer interns that come in and help us during training camp. Hopefully we're going to get a fifth this year. And then we have our year-long. We have 2 year-long interns that help us out right now. Hopefully we'll get a third. But we have them on a 2-year rotation. So that, and we try to alternate that. So as one guy is completing his second year, then we'll bring the new guy in that this guy that's already been with us for 1 year, he can kind of show him the ropes and show him how we do things. And then, you know, as that veteran guy leaves, then this new guy, or was new, you know, after he completes his first year, then we'll bring in our other guy and he shows him the ropes. So it's just we try to alternate that rotation or alternate that position so that there's a little bit of a rotation so guys can kind of show them how we do things. Every team is a little different from, you know, setting Gatorade out and bars and making ice bags and all that. I mean, as you go through your or progress through your curriculums and through your career, you're going to understand that there's different personalities out there and there's different ways of doing things and no one way is particularly the right way. And so, as long as the job gets done at the end of the day, you know, that's something that, you know, every team is a little different. So at least that rotation, you know, allows for these athletic trainers to kind of learn the way we do things.
Lizzie?
What is going to give someone the best shot at working in professional sports?
The best shot is just trying to get as much exposure and experience as possible. You know, if you have a particular sport that you want to, you know, target, then try to really target that. Set those as your short-term and long-term goals and really try to work at that. Now, for me, when I was going through, I knew I wanted to do baseball or football. I always tried to get those spots. And not for selfish reasons, and I understood that, but there were times, you know, I did have a choice, and if it involved me going 30 minutes out of town to go and cover a small Baptist, you know, university's baseball team, then that's what I tried to do. And but trying to get as much experience and exposure as possible with different sports, sometimes even a well-rounded athletic trainer with those experiences is very helpful. At least you see several different injuries from different sports, and you're able to work with different kinds of athletes. They're all wired a little different, and if you don't already know that, you'll find that out soon. Football players are wired different from basketball players and baseball players and track and so on and so forth. And so you'll also learn that aspect of it. But it's important that you continue to push yourself and try to get as much experience as possible, and then try to apply for those internships or different positions that'll give you that experience and further that education for you.
All right, so obviously if there's 32 teams, there's roughly four entry-level intern spots a year. That's, what, 108? So if there's only 100, is that right? 32 times 4? All right, so yeah. So we're going to go with 128.
Yes.
So if there's roughly only 128 professional football intern spots per summer, what are some of the things that people are interested? Say these kids really want to work with the Texans, mm-hmm. but they're not they don't want to do it as an athletic trainer. What are some of the other things that they could do, either sports medicine or non-sports medicine wise?
Right, that's a good question. I mean, the Texans organization is huge, and you know, again, there's different positions for different teams, but the you know, the marketing side of things, the public relation side of things, where you're you know, setting up certain interviews for these players or certain appearances for these players, the marketing part of it, where you're marketing games, you're doing all that. Now I'm speaking out of my realm of things. You know, I know there's several more duties and obligations and responsibilities that those departments have, but those two are some big ones for us. And then you know, football operations also that have to worry about the travel and the function of the facilities of how things work, the security around there. So there's several ways to still be a part of that or of an organization. And you know, there's human resources side of it, and there's business side of it also, that, you know, with ticket sales and suite sales and everything else. And a lot of times, you know, if you're in a position like that, you may not have as much involvement with the players as what we do. Again, we spend countless hours with our guys, so we you know, are able to establish very important relationships with these guys that others don't get to do around the building. But those are some of the positions that are available too.
All right, so since all of my student trainers here are girls, and several of them have said, you know, I'd like to work with professional football, I know only the Steelers had or have a professional, like a athletic trainer, and then I think Carolina had an intern, but it may have been because she was a coach's daughter or something like that. What are the opportunities for women in the NFL, and just in your opinion?
Right. No, I think that's right. I'm not sure about the coach's daughter in Carolina, but I think there was a female that was a year-long intern there, and then Ariko Iso was the female assistant athletic trainer for the Steelers for several years, and then she is now the head athletic trainer for Oregon State. And then they brought in this girl, Sonia. So she's the only female athletic trainer full staff in the NFL at this point. And I think that the Steelers had a female year-long also, so there was actually two females in the athletic training room. But, you know, I think it's a difficult bridge to cross for females at this time. Now, I think that the exposure and the recognition is climbing, but traditionally with an all-male sport, with the facilities being all male in there, it's I think that it is seen more so as a liability for these organizations. It's different when you're in high school and college, where you have multiple athletes and you have one training room and there's male and female coming through there all the time. And the same thing with college, where you have a lot of these facilities share their training rooms for several different sports, and there's male and female coming through there. And but whenever you get to a professional organization like the Texans or any NFL team, where it's all male, and you know, we spend so much time and have to evaluate certain injuries or whatever else, there are some teams that are very skeptical to bring females in, just because they are concerned about the liability for their team. If a female takes a certain gesture the wrong way, or you know, is for lack of a better term, if she's, you know, hit on by one of the players or something like that, then, you know, that brings about, you know, a situation, potentially brings about a situation that would otherwise be avoided, you right. know. And so I think that is a concern around, you know, around the league, or all male sports now. You know, I think that it's still climbing. I think that recognition is there, and I definitely see females breaking the barrier a little more. I definitely see in the future that more females will be in the NFL, and there's no doubt that they are well qualified. But I think that from an organizational standpoint, that's the hurdle that they're going to have to climb over or jump over, you know, in years to come.
All right, so we're going to move. We're going to change topics a little bit. Crystal's got something.
You have developed some products. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, that's right. I'll briefly tell you about that. No problem. It's called the DS2 platform. It's a dynamic stabilization and strengthening platform. I'm not sure if any of y'all have heard of it or are familiar with it. There's currently about eight NFL teams that have it, but and then several other clinics and some universities that have it too. It's slowly getting recognized. You know, it's a product that me as a rehab guy, there are a ton of lower body exercises, or at least it always seemed to me that there's a ton of lower body exercises. But as far as upper body, it seems limited in a way, and especially with closed chain exercises. So, you know, with your foot on the ground, you know, tons of lunges and step ups and different things that you can do for your lower body, but upper body wise, not a whole lot of closed chain exercises that you can perform. And so one day I'm doing some rehab with James Casey, as a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, our tight end / fullback, and I'm performing some shoulder stuff. You know, I got tired of body blade oscillations and some rhythmic stabilization and internal external rotation with a band, and I thought, you know, okay, well, in this particular situation, I had his hand up on a physio ball, and I was, you know, throwing some perturbations in there and working on stability of the shoulder. And I look over at our slide board, and I thought, okay, well, why not create a slide board type surface that goes on the wall and can be paired up with a glove, and they can perform all their oscillations and different stuff on there, and kind of create this adjustable platform, a low friction platform on the wall. So a slide board that can go on the wall. And one idea led to another, where I thought, okay, why not be able to take it off the wall and place it on the floor, place it on a table, and do all your exercises that a mobile slide board will allow you to do, basically. And so it one idea went from, you know, one idea led to another. I was driving my wife crazy, and, you know, at the house, because I was, it went from getting printer paper, you know, I had several sheets of paper out on the kitchen counters, and I was tracing Dasani bottle caps and designing all sorts of patterns and different things, you know. And so I thought, okay, well, why not create this slide board type surface, put a pattern on there where the athletes can follow, and we as athletic trainers or rehab professionals can tell them, I want you to go from 1 to 2 to 3 as fast as you can, ready to go. And so anyway, it has grown some legs a little bit, and I have a few distributors out there. It's neat. I guess I'm very humbled by the product, and it's getting some recognition, and more teams and entities or facilities are starting to purchase it. And I'm just very humbled by every sale. You know, for me, I love rehab. I love what I do. And I thought it was just a product that could definitely benefit some players, especially in the transition stage of an acute injury, where they're not able to put, you know, say, for example, a posterior labral tear, where they're not able to get in a push-up position for 8 to 10 weeks. And so I thought, okay, these guys can't get in that position, but I'm tired of doing these same two or three things as far as stabilization exercises. And I'm not a big fan of pendulum exercises. And so I thought, well, why not create a little compression through the shoulder, and you can adjust the amount of weight that they apply through the shoulder by the distance that they're standing away from the platform. And they can follow different patterns, small oscillations, and then progress to bigger movement patterns. And then eventually I also sell it with bands. So they'll have a wrist strap and bands as well. So the athletic trainer is holding on to a band, and these guys can go to town. And as far as shoulder work, it is incredible. And then you can take it off the wall and get it on the floor and do all your stuff there. And you can advance their exercises and do core stuff and do lower extremity exercises where I get a booty on their foot. And whether we're doing lateral lunges or forward lunges and core stuff, it's a really versatile product. It uses minimal floor space. And you know, if you want to check it out, it's website is ds2rehabsystems.com. You already pulled it up, huh?
Yep.
Or yeah, you can go to ds2platform.com, and it's got several videos, and you'll find JJ Watt on there and a couple of the players that have helped me.
What about you? Are you modeling at all?
I used to. I think I don't. They used to be on YouTube. I think I pulled those though. I'd rather people not see me performing those. But so there's some more professional videos that are on there now, and they have several different exercises and. And testimonials and whatever else, and you can see who all's purchased the product too. But I think it's versatile. Again, I'm just very humbled to be able to provide a rehab tool, and that's my only goal. Sure, down the line, if some money comes my way, okay, that's great. But for me, the passion that I have for helping players and patients and athletes, and being a part of the rehab world, and being able to provide a tool that I think add some value in rehab clinics and training rooms, I think it, that's the most important thing to me.
Yeah, I saw you at the workshop this summer using it, and it looked pretty cool. You're moving your arm pretty fast across the board, like it was, like you said, pretty low friction, and
right,
and you know, it's closed chain, like you said, there's no push up because you're just standing with your weight of your arm basically.
Right, and it's a safer, you know, initially with those injuries, it's a safer I guess situation for your shoulder. You know, the compression, the slight compression research shows that it provides increased stability for your shoulder, and it promotes co-contraction of your shoulder girdle, of your shoulder muscles. And so that co-contraction, that stability, that compression in the shoulder actually is an added benefit from performing a closed chain exercise, and especially initially that kind of protects the joint, if you will. So I definitely think it has a place in the rehab world. We'll just see where it goes from here. So,
all right, well, hopefully one day he can point back to this and say, that was the Kickstarter.
That's it.
The podcast.
That was the Kickstarter.
And then I'll just be glad that you took your time to come out here. All right, it is about time for them to go to lunch, and I can be here as long as you want, or you can go back and get to work since you are so busy at this time of year. Leslie, I think, has one final question. Is there any more on the Ustream?
Yeah. Oh, no.
No more on there.
Did we get through all of them right here? We got through all of them?
On the Ustream?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or this monitor.
Oh, yeah, this is the last one. Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. So we got through most of it.
Any parting thoughts on athletic training, NFL, life in general?
Life in general. You know, for me, it's always my motto is kind of keep your head down, keep your sleeves rolled up, and keep working hard. And it's always better to be seen and not heard. And what I mean by that is just, you know, just continue to push yourself, and in other aspects, you know, just stay quiet, be humbled, and work your tail off. Your work ethic will be far more obvious and recognized by more people than you think. And, you know, other athletic trainers tend to attract to those students and those interns that are the ones that are busting their tail and working so hard and hardly say a peep, and you know, ask the questions when it's appropriate, and but continue to peep, you know, to push yourself and be seen and not so much heard all the time. The other part of that is one of the first things I learned was, you know, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, you're left. That was one of the first lessons that I ever gained as an athletic trainer. And, man, that couldn't be more true. You know, just be early. wherever you need to go.
And, did you get left somewhere?
Nope. Oh. I didn't. But that was, those were kind of words of wisdom for me. Right. And ever since then, I've just kind of taken that to heart. And you know, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, you're left. And so always remember that. And the other thing, too, is, you know, you never want to be complacent. There's always people that are trying to take your job and my job. I mean, there are a ton of, you know, athletic trainers, aspiring athletic trainers around the country and around the world that would love to be in my situation. I mean, there are roughly 120 athletic trainers in the NFL. And as far as dual credentialed, you know, PT and athletic training, there's at least one on each team. So there's 32 of us. If not more. I mean, our situation is a little different. Jeff Kaplan, our head athletic trainer, he's a physical therapist as well, so there's two on our team. I think there's two or three teams in the NFL that have two dual-credentialed people. But anyway, not to get, you know, on a sidetrack, just there are a ton of people that would love to be in our position, and you can never get complacent in this position. You know, it's a thrill. It's an honor to work with these guys and to be at this level, and we have to continue to push ourselves, you know, to advance our knowledge and be on the cutting edge and innovative with the things that we have to offer our players, because otherwise they're going to find a way to get it done outside of our building. And so don't get complacent, continue to work hard, be prepared for anything that's going to happen. Some of the stuff is uncontrollable. And a lot of it depends on the attitude and how you handle that situation. So keep pushing, setting your goals, and keep accomplishing them.
All right, very cool. Y'all have any final questions, any starstruck questions? No? No? All right, so again, if you want to check out the rehab thing that Roland made, it's DS2RehabSystems.com or at DS2Platform.com.
On Twitter, yeah.
On Twitter.
Well, or it's, yeah, DS2Platform.com.
DS2Platform.com. Or DS2Platform on Twitter, so you can see what the platform is tweeting about.
Or the Facebook page. You can find it there, too.
Or the Facebook page.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so then now you can cheer for Roland a little bit louder when somebody gets hurt on the Texans, because now you know him a little bit more personally.
That's right. Usually if you see me, that's not a good thing typically, but sometimes you can see me scratching my head or something behind Coach Kubiak or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it's a very big honor and a privilege to be here. You know, I'm excited that you guys asked me to be a part of this, and so I appreciate each and every one of you that asked questions and allowed me to be a part of this thing you have here. That's pretty neat.
Thank you. We try hard, so. All right, well, that was actually the bell for the kids to go to lunch. So, y'all can go ahead and go. Just set your headphones on the chair, and then I'll close it out.
Thanks, Jeremy. Or do you want me to stay on? Or
You can just stay for just a second. I'm going to close it out for
you. Okay. All right, thanks. Nice to meet you.
All right, well, if you're watching live, Roland's taking pictures with the girls because they're super excited, so I'm glad they came out. So I'm going to go ahead and close it out so he can get out of here and get back to all of his work. So definitely thanks to Roland and the Houston Texans for giving us some time and then all the useful information. And then GHATS, the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society, is sponsoring CEE opportunities for listening and being part of the podcast. So, again, check them out, ghats.org. Words of wisdom, I like Roland. I like to steal from the guests, since they're the reason that we do this. If you keep your head down and your sleeves rolled up and keep working, it's better to be seen than to heard. So somebody will recognize you for working hard instead of having a big mouth. So I'll go with that from Roland. If you want to check us out, this is a new addition to the contact information. Our website is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. So I've just recently kind of got that up to where I think it's good enough to tell people about it. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Most every Wednesday, you can watch live about 10:15, 10:30 start time, depending on what they do with the bell schedule. Join in the conversation on the social stream there on Ustream. Also on sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, it's being broadcast live. Twitter at PHS SportsMed, Google+ PHS Athletic Training, facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training. The office phone is 713-740-0310, extension 01312. Then there's that app you can download on the Android only. PHS Athletic Training. I just did a little bit of updating on that this weekend. And then, of course, if you want to contact Roland, the DS2, that's a shoe thing, I think, DS2 platform on Twitter, Facebook, or website, or search for it, and then he can probably get back with you on that. So, Roland, any final comments?
No, I don't think so. I appreciate the offer, Jeremy, and thank you for this opportunity. And it's a thrill for me to be here and talk about what it's like to be an athletic trainer in the NFL. And again, I can't say it enough. I mean, I'm just very privileged to be working in the NFL at this level. And I'm happy to share my thoughts and experiences with other athletic trainers at any time. And so thank you very much for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Very cool. It was definitely a pleasure, and I was really excited. I was kind of starstruck whenever you're like, yeah, I'll come do it. And then I was like, yes, sweet.
No reason to be starstruck, but thank you. I was excited to do it. And again, I thought it was going to be over the phone, so I was kind of caught off guard, but not a problem. I had some guys adjust their schedule and got them in early and got out on the field and ran some guys early this morning and then was able to make it. So I was glad I was able to make it happen.
Very cool. Me too. And I know that the kids were definitely excited that you were able to come, and because I told them that you might be via Skype or on the phone, and they're like, oh, and then you told me you're coming. They're like, they're excited.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, neat. I was excited too. So.
All right. So very cool. Well, for Jeremy, the rest of the sports medicine team, and Roland Ramirez from the Houston Texans, that's a wrap.